recorded live.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only, so call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple of rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, fellas, this ain't Bible study. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The Virtual Talk Show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is, 'Twas the Fight Before Christmas. Wow. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so, or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine as well. But please try to hang on until the end of this episode, because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion. All right, with all of that said, let's get started. 'Twas the Fight Before Christmas, a.k.a. the Christmas Crisis, the Nightmare Before Christmas, etc., etc. Christmas and the New Year is a great time of the year, especially for marriage counselors and divorce attorneys. On January 2nd, marriage counselors, divorce attorneys, and the like are usually swamped with new business that will keep them busy into the spring. "'Tis the season to be jolly," intones the Christmas carol, yet for many people, Christmas can be one of the hardest times of the year. The typical conflict raised is time management when there are so many things to do. Lights on the house, setting up and decorating the Christmas tree, Christmas shopping and wrapping gifts, mailing Christmas cards, planning meals, etc. There's an endless array of activities that take time, lots of time. And it's not as if we all get enough time off from work to accomplish it all. In fact, many companies are busiest at the end of the year. The holiday season is filled with lots of ways for stress to creep its way into your marriage. Now, my wife and I somehow always wind up getting into a fight right before Christmas. That's why I wrote this episode, because it's about me. You know, she said it's because I don't do enough, you know, whether it's to help clean around the house, you know, preparing Christmas dinner, you know, all this stuff. And just last evening, we were wrapping gifts, and we had a ton of gifts. And, you know, I was pulling them up from the basement and organizing them, throwing the trash away, you know, because my rap game, you know, ain't that good. You know, when it comes to wrapping gifts, I don't know about y'all, but so I, you know, I'm just, you know, moving stuff around, organizing, you know, putting it under the tree after she wraps. So, you know, she stops and she's like, "How come you're not wrapping any gifts?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm moving around, I'm just organizing, I'm cleaning up the trash, you know." So she's like, "I'm done," you know, and that's how, you know. That's how, you know, we always get into a tiff. you know, with and I mean, she was right. She was right, you know, that I wasn't helping, you know, as I should with the rapping. So, you know, literally, that's my story. I don't know if y'all can relate to that. You know, can anybody relate, you know, to fighting right before Christmas, or is it just me?
Jack, think it's just you, brother.
Huh?
It's not you.
Thank you. Thank you, brother. Speak on it. Speak on it. Help me out, because that brother is lying early in the evening.
I know. Everybody lying, man. Everybody lying. They know they be tripping, man. Look, my wife, she wants it spotless clean the night before. So, even though we got the gifts to wrap and everything, I'm trying to cook. She wants to go right behind you and, like, clean right up, you know, right beside you. He's like, come on now. You in my way. Cause an argument.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I understand you want to clean up, but at least let me finish messing up before you clean up.
Right.
Because you'll get mad and say, why can't you just do it at the same time that you are messing up? Why can't you just clean up behind yourself? I'm like, because I'm trying to multitask it. And right now, I clean up at the end. Well, she's like, well, I'm going to be up all night. So I'm going to help you out, and I'm going to clean up right behind you. But you're getting in the way. Now you don't clean up something I need to use. Now I can't find it. Because you don't put it up. That drives me crazy, you know, and that's when, you know, we get in a little heated argument, and I just tell him to go sit down somewhere. Go sit down. You just have this area. Do whatever you do around the house. You just have this area.
Right, right. So it's not just me towards the fight before Christmas. So anybody else having any little dust-ups or blow-ups right before Christmas or around the Christmas season? I just
another
find that hard to believe. Go ahead.
Another one is the gift.
What's up with
you
the gifts?
We always say we're not going to go over a certain amount of money for ourselves. We're going to get the kids thing all themselves. But somehow, I always buy another gift. And I say it's from the kids. His dad said, you bought that? I said, but no, that's from the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she's mad because now she got to go get another gift. That's from the kids. So when it comes to making the price of the gift, because you know you can't just buy your wife a $20 gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to work.
So do y'all argue about how much you're going to spend on the kids or what you're going to buy the kids or both?
I don't argue no more. I just go to work and figure it out when it comes to the kids. Because, you know, she says, well, you know, because she wants to give them what they need, you know, clothes, coats for the winter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But she also wants to get all of the wants. And then I'm like, wait a minute. You know, we got to give on some of these wants. Because some of these wants cost about $300-$400.
Mm-hmm.
And you got two kids, that can add up.
Exactly. I mean, do you find yourself fighting with the kids, you know, during Christmas about, you know, what they want? You know, are they disappointed or anything like that?
No, only their grades, that's all.
Just their grades.
Yeah, right close to Christmas, you know. They have all these things at school and church, so you got to just keep up with them because they go to bed a little later because they got all these other sidebar curriculums that they want to do. That's about it.
In this economy, do people really expect that they'll be showered with gifts? I mean, really?
I think so. I think a lot of people just don't get it. Tommy means nothing around Christmas time. Especially the kids. They don't even know what economy is.
Right. Do you think your kids are a little spoiled?
Mine were, not anymore, but they were growing up, for sure.
What do you mean, growing up?
Well, I mean, you know, they're both, you know, pretty much grown, but for the most part, when they were kids, younger kids, yeah. Yeah, I worked a lot, man, and what I did for my day off was took them shopping.
So you made the money, and then it's like, all right, we're going to spend the money.
Every week.
You remember, kids want everything that they see and everything that other people have.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my youngest daughter was pretty much rotten, man. We would go to the store to buy one thing. She would disappear, right? And then show up at the cash register with a cart full of whatever she could fit in there. Every time. You know, she always had to have the newest Jordans, you know. What? Go ahead.
I was going to, you know, we're talking about the kids. Would you say your wife is a little spoiled?
Right now, my wife, I think, is in a different place. A little earlier in our marriage, she might have been a little spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I think she's in a different place because now it's all about the kids. Christmas is for the kids.
So she really don't, you know, go all out like, you know, like she used to when it comes to herself.
No.
And why you think that is?
I don't know if I think the Christmas spirit has just changed.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I think the economy has kind of affected the Christmas spirit because it's concerned, you know, how much these kids stuff and make sure all the lights and everything paid. And we go see the grandparents after Christmas. Those type things. But the closer you get to Christmas, you know, the more excited you get. Because one thing they brought back this year was that wasn't in the past was layaway.
Right. But have you ever found yourself spending far more than you can afford on a bunch of gifts that your family doesn't need?
Man, I found myself buying stuff that they loved and maybe needed for 5 minutes, and now it sits up in the closet. I think everybody's gone through that.
Yeah, anybody else found yourself spending far more than you can afford on a bunch of stuff that your family, your kids don't need?
Absolutely.
Speak on it, brother. Got an example you like to share?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good.
What's up, man?
Not much. How y'all feel, brother?
Good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, man. I find that, you know, my wife is a type of person. You know, she has her father's makeup, and her father did everything big. You know, he did nothing small. And every time that they do something, they go all out, regardless of what you have. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's just a messed up situation when you can't think beyond that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How do you think TV and internet, you know, fuel the fire of materialism around Christmas?
Oh, I mean, they send you those subliminal messages, man, and everything that they do, man, you know? And they put it out there for those kids, and they keep repeating it over and over and over again and over and again. And, you know, it's like it's like a word, like a seed. You know, once you hit the ground and you keep speaking to that seed, man, it's going to keep watering it. The thing just keep growing in you, man. And the next thing you know, you hear it so much that you just have to go find out what it is.
True that.
Ingrain it in your thoughts, man. And then all of a sudden, man, you wind up going looking at things that you would have never thought of. You know, I mean, they send those subliminal messages and gene commercials, all kinds of nonsense, man. They make sure that you get it. Yeah.
Does keeping up with the Joneses have an effect on Christmas at all?
Oh, no doubt. 100%.
How so?
How so? Because everybody want to be in with what's down. You know, what's new. You know, I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't truly understand it, but I brought my wife an iPad, right? And then the iPad came out. She sold the iPad that I gave her and got an iPad 2. You know, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, and the thing about it was, I know nothing about, you know, computers like that, but I brought her an iPad. But the one I purchased for her was, they call it a 64 gig or something like that.
Yeah, that's the memory size. Yeah.
I paid a lot of money for that thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
She sold it for X amount of dollars and got one that only had 30-something because she didn't need 64.
Huh?
You know, so yeah. but then the real kicker is, then they'll buy it. Oh yeah, I use this one for that, but I have to get this Kindle thing for reading books. And I'm like, man, it seems like that other thing does all the things that you're doing with this thing.
It does.
And that's the mind blowing part, man. I'm like, are y'all just techie freaks or what? You know, I mean, I don't know.
Man, look, the Kindle, the iPod does 18,000 things more than the Kindle. You don't need both. I got books on my iPod. I mean, my iPad, I could just download them right now.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? So they buy all these different iBooks and iPads. And I really don't get it. You know what I mean? It really doesn't set well with me, but... We get out there because it's something new. It's like the new video game. You know, everybody talk about the Madden. I've never even played Madden before, okay? But all I hear is the Madden. Now we at the Madden 12. I said, Lord have mercy. Madden that made so much money off of us, man. I know he think we mad. It's bad, though, man. That's what they do. They put that stuff in your head, and they keep trying to hype it up a little bit more. And we go out and we keep buying it.
That's right.
Now you got these war games since we've been in war. Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
What else my son want? He wants Call of Duty. There's one more that just came out. Battlefield or something like that.
Uh-huh. Lord have mercy. I'm not shocked.
Yeah, and I think the only difference between the first iPad and the iPad 2, not including the memory size, I think the only difference is the second one has a camera.
Yep. That's it.
I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, which is a nice feature, you know, but.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I have the iPhone 3S. She told me I should get a 4S, so I can see her on my telephone and we could talk. And I'm like, man, it's hard enough seeing you every day as it is.
So you're not trying to see in your pocket, you know?
You know what I mean? I mean, these phones are crazy, man. I mean, they track you down. They do all kinds of nonsense. You know what I mean? I mean, name it, these phones, they do it, you know? And I haven't even learned to use the one that I have, to be honest with you.
Right.
You know?
Because, I mean, they do so much nowadays that it's easy to miss them.
Yeah, and I don't get it. Why she would want me to get another phone? But she called. She has two different accounts. She called her iPad and FaceTimed herself on her iPad. What do you want to call it?
Wow,
crazy. crazy, man. Just showing to me modern, the newer technology. You know, things that she want me to keep up with. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man. Technology is just so crazy, but yeah, we keep buying into it and buying into it. And then the thing that kind of threw me off was, I ain't gonna talk you guys to death. The thing that really threw me off was is that I bought her the iPad when it first came out. Like I said, 64. And the reason I brought the 64 because I had a conversation with somebody at the store, and they told me that if you buy a 32 or something less, that the iPads, you cannot upgrade the memory. So I brought the one with the greatest amount of memory, because if you go over 32, you can't upgrade it and make it 64. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I brought 64, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, but, you know, then she said that 32 was, you know, was enough. And I'm like, okay, that's going.
Wow. So, I mean, go ahead.
No, they're going to be trying to sell us something else next, you know?
Yeah, the iPad 3. When is that coming?
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. I mean, and everything just keeps escalating and escalating, one thing to the next thing. Nothing stays relevant for very long anymore. You know what I mean? It's like
technology now, man. Every 6 months, you know, your stuff is obsolete.
Absolutely.
Not even that. It don't even take that long.
That's what I'm talking about. And it don't make no sense. It don't make no sense whatsoever. None whatsoever. Every time you turn around, you have to buy something new, or they don't sell this anymore, or they don't have this, and you have to buy this for it. I'm like, oh, they have new apps and new this and new that. And I'm like, man, as fast as they put stuff on this phone, it's like me beginning all over every time I look at the phone.
It's like you got a new upgrade.
Yeah, but you got to remember now, technology is the toy for grown folks.
Let me get this thing on. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no doubt, man.
So it's like them being a kid.
Yeah.
Something new comes out, they got to have it. You know, one, to show that, just to show other people that they can get it.
Right. Yep. Every time, like I say, whenever I turn around, man, it's something crazy, something new.
So is everybody have high hopes this Christmas, or is anybody anticipating a disappointing Christmas? Do you have high hopes, or are you just kind of just like a little leery?
I'm not saying high hopes, or I'm not saying leery. I'm just saying that I'm not going to overextend myself, man.
True that.
Yeah, I'm not going to overextend myself with things that are necessary. I mean, I have grown up kids, you know, got one granddaughter 6 years old. She's getting something, okay?
Yeah.
She wanted me to see her picture with Santa Claus yesterday, you know? So, whatever. Other than that, you know, I'm going to get something for my wife, and that's it, man. I'm not going overboard for nobody.
Mm-hmm. True that. And then anybody else? Anybody got high hopes or anticipating disappointment for whatever reason?
Well, I mean, we all have high hopes for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just leave that part at that. But everything else is, after Christmas, you know, you almost there, that you got to thank God you're almost making it to a new year.
Mm-hmm.
And with the economy the way it is, and you're, you know, some people aren't able to be home for Christmas. You know, this is the first year, you know, that you're gonna have our armed services at home for Christmas. So that's a joy to somebody else's family.
Yeah, that like mine.
The man is coming home. You know what I mean? The man is coming back to do his thing.
Sure.
So, Christmas may have different meaning for not only us, but for the others that haven't had a great Christmas in years.
Mm-hmm.
Due to the fact that the head of household wasn't in the house because he was defending our country.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
And I bet you he's still going to get fussed out for something before Christmas.
And unfortunately, you may be right, because, like you said, he hasn't been there, you know, so just the fact that he hasn't been there, and granted, you know, they had to serve our country, and, but, I mean, just getting back into the flow, you know, of things and the household and how things are, you know, that takes some adjustment, you know, that's not easy, you know, so I'm sure, you know, those folks have high hopes, but it may actually be disappointing because, like you said, I mean, they may get into a fight before Christmas. But I want to talk about meaning of Christmas. And B says something interesting. The picture with Santa Claus. Does anybody do the whole Santa Claus thing at Christmas? Santa Claus? Because I don't. You know, I grew up with, you know, my parents did Santa Claus and, you know, we put the cookies, you know, out, and I would get up, and they'd be half-eaten, and the milk be, you know, dumped in the sink, or maybe somebody drank it. I don't know. But, I mean, the whole shebang, you know, so I didn't know until, you know, late in life that there was no Santa Claus. Maybe almost by the time where I graduated high school, you know, I was still thinking it was Santa Claus. That was a joke. I'm just making sure y'all listen.
Just making sure.
Yeah, but I mean, really, you know, I my parents did the Santa Claus thing, but when I got married, my wife, they did not do the Santa Claus thing, you know, and she was adamant about we ain't gonna do Santa Claus. You know, we bought the gifts, you know, with our money, and you know, I was kind of reluctant, but you know, I kind of thought about it. I wasn't that upset, and you know, so the whole time, my you know, my kids, they don't do Santa Claus. You know, so they be spoiling the other kids' Christmas at school. Like, they ain't no Santa Claus. Your mom and daddy buy you. I'm like, don't tell them that, honey. You know, don't tell them that. But yeah, I mean, so we don't do, you know, Santa portraits, you know, anything related to Santa. We write, you know, from mom and dad, you know, on the gifts and everything. So what about y'all? Do y'all do the Santa thing at all? Anybody?
Not at all. Never did it.
Never did it, okay.
I did it for the first 6. And last year, I told him, I said, listen, I can't let this other man put him in front of God. So, well, one thing, that frustrated me.
Right,
two,
yeah, because he could get in the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, and, you know, and then you're lying.
Right,
so
that's right.
And then two is my money.
Right.
I told him, Santa Claus, listen, ain't no Santa Claus, it's me. Whatever you get, I'm the one seeing you every day. I'm the one to know if you're naughty or nice. I don't beat that tail if you're naughty. So we're going to figure this thing out. Sharon said, why did you say that? I said, I couldn't take it no more. They got to know.
Yeah, cause I think that number two is huge. You know, the lying part about it. Because at some point, you know, you are going to have to say, you know what, you know, we've been lying to you all these years. And, I mean, what does the child, I mean, how does the child respond to that? I mean, these are the parents that they trust with their safety and security and provision and all this stuff. And they've been lying to them, you know, all these years. So, I mean, how does a child, I mean, it's got to be a little bit of a lack of trust. You know, after that, I would think, you know, and in my instance, you know, when they told me, I guess I really didn't think too much about it. You know, it was kind of a white lie, I guess, as they call it. So it wasn't, I mean, for me personally as a child, when that bubble was burst that there was no Santa Claus, I was just like, oh, okay. I mean, I wasn't devastated or anything. You know, I didn't feel betrayed by my parents. But, you know, that could be the case in some instances, but how did your parents approach Christmas when y'all were growing up? How did your parents approach Christmas? Go ahead.
I mean, I'm going to tell you something. They taught us about Santa Claus just the same, right? But what it does, man, one lie breeds another, and what happens is it becomes generational, man, because it goes from one generation to the next generation to the next generation because we don't want to tell our children the truth. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It becomes a generational lie, man.
Right, exactly. So, yeah. So B, how did your parents approach the whole Christmas season when you were growing up? Anything special or different?
Nah.
Anybody else? How did your parents approach Christmas or the Christmas season? Or how did your wife's parents? Was that? Did your wife? Did her parents approach Christmas totally opposite or out of the norm? You know, compared to how you grew up.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was out of the norm. We had a lot of traditions that we would do around Christmas time that we do right now that actually I have taken over.
And what is that?
Family dinners where the family gets together and have a good time. And almost like
yeah,
a family.
That was last weekend, right? A couple weekends ago?
You know, yeah. That last couple weekends ago, and you get family from all over come, and they love the tradition, and they don't want to miss it, and it makes them feel good. So to go around and see other people feeling good about Christmas, and that's like starting the spirit of going through the Christmas season.
Gotcha. Yeah, because as I told y'all. Couple of weeks ago, we have a tradition we go to the ice show, you know, every Christmas season down in National Harbor, and it's a family tradition, and we started it about maybe 3 years ago, you know, when they built it, and we decided to go, and it's a family tradition, and so that's what we do. That's part of what we do. Well, anybody else? Anybody got any Christmas time traditions? Patrice got the dinner. I got the ice show. Anybody else have any traditions at Christmas time?
I don't have any.
So it's just like regular, all right, open your gifts, you know.
Well, I mean,
that.
You know, my wife, actually it's funny that you asked that because we normally wouldn't get a tree or anything because, you know, we got teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I was like, I'm going to get a tree this year, and we're just going to reinvent this tradition. And every year get a tree and do it upright, you know. You know, family's going to come over. You might as well be festive, you know.
Wow.
Yes, I got a tree this year, and I'm just going to keep the tradition going.
That's what's up, because that's actually another, thank you, T-Hawk. That's actually another tradition that we have. And again, I grew up with a fake tree, but when I got married, the wife was, and the first couple of years we were living in an apartment, and we weren't even home, you know, during Christmas. So, we didn't even get a tree. You know, we didn't decorate because it's like we ain't even gonna be here. So we just left the apartment and we traveled around to my parents, her parents, family, or whatever. It was, you know, like living out of a suitcase for about a week. But that's what we did, and. But growing up, you know, we had a fake tree, but then we moved into the house. We got a real tree, and as Tony says, it's a tradition that we go every first Saturday in December. You know, we take the kids and we go to the same spot, and but it's a family tradition, and I actually, that was something that I didn't. I was like, why don't we just get a fake tree? Why are we buying a $60 tree every year? You know, when I can buy a $30 one of the last 8 to 10, you know, I'm looking at it from the economics of it. But, you know, it's actually a tradition that we go and shop for the tree, and the place we go to have good apple cider and hot cocoa and cookies, and they're real nice and great customer service. They, you know, they give you a fresh cut, they bale it, put it on your roof, tie it up, make sure it doesn't go anywhere, and they give the kids free glasses, like 3D glasses, some where you look in the lights and images of Santa Claus or snowmen or reindeer appear on the lights magically. You know, I don't know how they do that, but, you know, it's just little stuff like that, as Tony was saying, that it's tradition, you know, that's it's part of the family. But how about y'all, real tree or fake tree? How you do it? Or no tree?
Real tree.
Yeah, my wife's family, they actually get the tree on Christmas Eve.
Whoa, whoa. Whoa.
Go get the tree and really the decorates and everything, well, I should say, on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
That's it.
Anybody? Good words. Anybody else? Real tree? Fake tree? No tree?
Yeah, Rodney, you know me. You know I'm fake, man. I go with the artificial all the way, man.
Is it pre-lighted, Mark?
Nah, but you know what? I was saying we've had this one for about 8 years. I'm thinking about upgrading to the pre-lit one.
So you going with another fake one when that one go down, huh?
Yes, sir. Yeah, no going out, no strapping it to the car, no watering it, you know, all that stuff. I'm keeping it nice and simple, man. No throwing it out when you're done.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all the shedding and everything in the floor you got to sweep up, man. Yeah, that's all part of Christmas, but
yeah.
T-Hawk said something interesting I want to touch back on. And my question is, just because you did something last Christmas, does that automatically mean that you have to do it this Christmas? Now, he said that they usually don't get a tree, but they're going to start a tradition this time. You know, they got a tree, and now this is how it's going to be. So every time you go over T-Hawk's house at Christmas time, from here on out, you're going to have a tree, right, T-Hawk?
Yes, sir.
And what prompted that, Mr. T-Hawk? I mean, what was, did you just get a light bulb over your brain one day and say, I think we should get a tree and we should start a tradition, honey? I mean, what prompted that whole conversation about getting a tree this year in 2011?
Well, I mean, you know, my daughter's back from school,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I got these youngins, you know, they both got kids,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to have family over. So I was like, I'm going to have family over, and it's going to be gifts. So what are we going to do, put them on the dresser?
Yeah.
You know, I used to decorate. I got this ficus plant. I would decorate that just for the sake of decorating something. I said, man, it ain't number $40. I think I'm going to pay $45. And just like you said, the dude strapped the tree to the top of the truck. I came home, threw it up, went and bought a $7 stand from Walmart,
mm-hmm.
and I got a tree. My wife decorated it. Probably took about half an hour. I don't know. And now we got a tree, so we'll put the gifts under there and make it official. When they come over, they'll go and unwrap their gifts, and, you know, just like old times.
Mm.
I mean, it's not that much. It doesn't, you know, it. You don't have to really get that involved just to keep that tradition alive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good words. And you say you're having people over. Do you have any family members or anybody over your house during Christmas time that you literally can't stand being around?
No.
That goes for the group. Anybody have anybody that, you know, it's like, oh, we got to invite them, you know, that you literally just can't stand being around?
No.
Really?
Let me react to that one.
Okay.
If I can. How does that happen outside of family? You know what I mean? How does that happen? Or do you have, I mean, you know, is your house, you control it. You control who comes over.
Mm.
You know, I don't have a lot of family here. The family that I have here is actually family that I've made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, daughters and you know, and all that. But I don't see how somebody could come and not be welcome.
Well, if it's a spouse you don't like, you're not going to invite the one person and not invite the spouse.
Yeah, which is true. You know, you got a situation where you like one half of the married couple, but the other one you really don't deal with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got that. Yeah, because my wife's got one of those.
See? Now you answered your own question.
Yeah, he got one of those situations. I don't have any because, you know, but she does. She does, and there's somebody that's pretty much that actually, to come to think of it, there's two people that are just not allowed. I can't even.
See?
But guess what? They ain't coming. I'm not inviting the other half.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I got to live with her. You know, and I don't want to get those looks. You know the looks. You know, why are they in my house? I'm not dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I mean, do you like a lot of people around at Christmas time, Tony, or would you just prefer your nuclear, you know, when it comes to Christmas? Do you like a whole bunch of people around, or just, you know, the you, your wife, the kids, the grandkids type deal? I mean, what would you prefer if you were to have it your way, like at Burger King? What would you prefer?
If I could have it my way, I'd probably have about 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, let's load it up. Everybody bring something. Let's load it up and have a big shindig for Christmas.
Mm-hmm. So do you have 50 people?
I don't have 50 people coming, no.
And is that, why is that?
I mean, we're just having a small Christmas this year.
Okay. So normally, I mean, your wife is cool with it. That's what I was saying. The 50
not really. She's not, because, you know, she says she does most of the work.
That's what I talked about earlier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it is what it is. You know, she actually does most of the work.
Yeah, so that's more people to clean up after and tend to and entertain.
Well, not the cleaning up part, because, you know, a lot of our guests will help clean up. But it's just the preparing for food and, you know, like I may make the meats, but that's what I do. I may do a little bit of cleaning up, but she just said that she does a little bit more than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know how that goes. So.
Absolutely. That's what we're talking about this evening, sir.
Whether it is or it isn't, it's still a conflict.
Something for debate.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you about me. I personally, you know, you would probably think that, and it's pretty funny that, you know, you say you want the 50 people. I'm actually the opposite.
Mm.
You know, and anybody knows me and Tony, like, our personalities are totally different. I can get up in front of a crowd of 500 people, you know, with nothing. I mean, it's nothing.
Yeah,
you
I'm
know,
not
but
doing
yeah, Tony ain't doing that. But on the flip side, he said he would rather have 50 people, you know, in his house, upstairs, downstairs, outside, just, you know, festive atmosphere. I'm the total opposite. My parents come up. That's a tradition. They come up, and ever since we only travel, I got an 8-year-old. We only travel with my daughter the year she was first born, and we learned that was a mistake because. Driving around in a sedan with a newborn or a fairly newborn, less than a year, and trying to see everybody with the new baby, and, oh, here's the gift for the baby, you know, and it's like, wow, where are we going to put all this stuff, and living out of the suitcase and different beds, you know, so you get home and you're tired. So we decided after that first year, we hit the road. We don't travel anymore on Christmas. My parents come up, and but that's the extent, you know. And I tell you, you know, I love Tony to death, but I mean, if he, you know, didn't have 50 people or anybody over and say, "Hey, Rodney, you know, can we come over?" Nope. I mean, real talk, nope. You know, I just like the nuclear, you know, family during that time. And so it's really, I prefer not, you know, any friends, you know, at that time. And it's just me. You know, I just take that time to reflect, you know, as the brother mentioned earlier. And it's just real, it's a real intimate time for me. And one thing that we do, and we're still talking about tradition to those that have just joined, welcome, Christmas time traditions. But one thing we do, as part of a tradition, is on Christmas Eve. And a lot of what we do is my wife's idea, honestly. You know, the no Santa Claus was her idea. The real tree over the fake tree was her idea. And on Christmas Eve, we have a literal, like, service. And it's like a reflection service. And we get dressed up. You know, the kids get dressed up. You know, no pajamas or no, you know, as the kids got old, I think denim is acceptable. But, I mean, I remember years past, you know, when my oldest was just a toddler. I mean, we would put her in a fancy dress, you know, and I would put on slacks. And, you know, but, I mean, now I've got a piano, and my oldest, she plays the piano. She's been playing for about 3 years. And she plays the piano, and we sing Christmas carols. You know, we just have a grand old time, and it's just me, the wife, and the kids, and my parents. And then at the end, you know, we'll go around and, you know, just reflect on the year. And, you know, it was a compromise for me, fellas, you know, because when she came up with it, I was like, we ain't doing that. We're not doing that, you know. And I was just very resistant to it. But now, you know, looking at the traditions, going Christmas tree shopping, doing the service on Christmas Eve, I actually look forward to it, and my kids look forward to it. And we do all of these things just leading up, you know, just trying to get into the Christmas spirit leading up to the big day. But, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, that's why I'm just not into the friends, you know, anything outside of my nuclear family, like mom and dad. You know, my brother could come, but and maybe and my kids, you know, godparents, they could come. You know, they're good folks. But
you,
I mean, outside
people
of
see
that,
you wearing that sweater.
Yeah. Yeah, the Bill Cosby joint. But I mean, you know, outside of that, I like to keep it real intimate. So, you know, friends is just, you know, I would have to say, you know, no, if that was, now if they didn't have anywhere to go, you know, I mean, that'd be something different. But that's just me. But, you know, getting back on topic, I ain't gonna talk you guys to death, but I mean, do y'all feel that when it comes to these traditions, that you had to compromise with your wife in any way? And should you, you know, give in to your wife's demands, or should you stand up for your own wishes?
Come on, man, it's Christmas time. You gotta give it up.
I'm telling you, somebody gotta give up the ghost. You know, so I mean, does anybody have any ways? You know, I explained three compromises with my wife over Christmas that have actually worked out to everybody's benefit. You know, but does anybody feel that they've had to compromise with their wife in any way, good or bad or indifferent, when it comes to Christmas?
No, I mean, we started a lot of new traditions together, so things that she didn't do prior to me and I didn't do prior to her, and I think that works really well for us. So, you know, but it's something to be said for a tradition, and, you know, now I have compromised with her traditions for Thanksgiving, which is, and I actually enjoy it. Her family has a family reunion every year at Thanksgiving, and we go there every year. But, yeah, Christmas, we developed a lot of traditions on our own, which really works well for us.
Yeah, and let me ask you this, brother. Did y'all ever discuss how you were going to celebrate Christmas before y'all got married?
No, we just kind of did it. Now, I mean, we dated for about 5 years before we got married, so we kind of already knew. But, you know, and she always had a real tree growing up, and, you know, me with the fake tree, so maybe she compromised on that. But, you know, we kind of just knew what we wanted to do and kind of put those things in place, but no discussion on it.
So how and where do y'all spend Christmas?
It's very low key, similar to you, nuclear family. But now one thing that we do that is, I would say, traditional for us is that we do go visiting. We have some friends that traditionally have a New Year, Christmas Eve celebration. We go to that, and then we'll visit some other family members throughout the day, and even on the day after Christmas, a lot of times we'll have brunch with some folks that we didn't get to see the day before. So we do a lot of visiting. It's all local, you know, nothing real long distance.
Mm-hmm. Good words, good words. Anybody else want to jump in on that? Compromise, how and where you spend Christmas, who with? Or did you even talk about these things before you tied the knot? Did you say, we're going to go to your mama's house on Christmas, then we're going to go to my mama's house on Christmas, you know, the day after Christmas? Or what? Did y'all talk about these things before you got married? Anybody?
We used to do some different things in the past, but and after a while, we came to the conclusion that we would do Christmas at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let's do it in our own house. And then, you know, we'll take our vacation after Christmas and go a couple of days down to her family's, a couple of days down to mine. So it just seemed better. And traditional to have Christmas at home with your kids, that you can see their gifts with the family and then go see the extended family after.
Yeah, and that's a good point, P-Town, because that's what I remember. You know, I spent, when I was growing up, I spent Christmas at home, and the day of Christmas, you know, we'd go to my mom's house, which was about 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, you know, from us, so it was close. My father's mom was up in Jersey, so about 4 hours away, so we didn't get to see her on Christmas, but, you know, that's what I remember is being at home as a kid, you know, opening up gifts with mom and dad and video camera, you know, when those came of age and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's what it was. And I think that was the reasoning for us changing our plans to not have our kids traveling around to the grandparents, because we wanted them to have that same memory of opening gifts at home. You know, I literally set the camera on the tripod, and, you know, we open gifts and, you know, all that good stuff. But what about Christmas lights? Does anybody put up Christmas lights? Christmas lights, yes or no? Christmas lights.
We do a little bit outside. We don't get extravagant like some of our neighbors.
They got music going.
And they got everything going, man. It brightens up the neighborhood. They do shoot lights at their house.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do no Christmas lights. You know, my 4-year-old told me. She got on me the other day. Halfway laid me out. She was like, "Daddy, we need some Christmas lights outside." Because I don't do no Christmas lights outside. I got some plug-in candles that light up the windows, and it looks nice, you know, when you're driving down the street, but, you know, like P-Town said, it don't look as good as, you know, as the neighbors that's got it all lit up. But, you know, P-Town, let me ask you a question. Do you begrudge putting them up or taking them down, or both?
Putting them up, man. Putting them down is easy. Because I can just yank them down and throw them away if I want to.
Right, you break one or don't light up anymore.
When you keep them, and then it's that one light that is broken or doesn't work that shuts the whole thing down. And so you spend like 30 minutes to 45 minutes looking for that one light. That's what pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hey, Rodney, I want to ask this question to the group, and I don't know if you're going to get to this, but what is the absolute latest that you can take your Christmas lights down and it be acceptable?
It depends on the HOA.
Can we go to Martin Luther King's birthday?
I think that's acceptable.
All right, all right.
Yeah. But, you know, I was into, I think it was like the midsummer. And, you know, I rolled past some houses, not in my neighborhood, but they still had their Christmas lights up. And they still lit them. You know, they still turned them on. You know, I was like, what in the world? You know, they wouldn't turn them on every night, but sometimes they would just be like, honey, let's turn on the Christmas light. You ride by and their house is lit up. But, you know, to your question, I think mid-January is acceptable, late January is acceptable, because I think I'm like P-Town, you know, I just begrudge putting them up, you know, so that's why I don't have to begrudge taking them down. But let's talk about gift giving. In y'all's relationship, which one of y'all is into getting or giving simple gifts, and which one of y'all is into getting or giving extravagant gifts? You know, one spouse may want to create an experience that the children will remember the rest of their lives, you know, while the other will remember the bill for the rest of their lives, you know. So, you know, those memorable experiences can cost these days, as P-Town mentioned, $300 or $400 for that number one gift that your child wants. But in y'all's relationships, which one of y'all is into the simple gifts, and which one of y'all is into giving the big time extravagant gifts. Or maybe both of y'all are extravagant. I don't know.
I don't know. That.
Anybody? Simple gifts, extravagant gifts between you and your wife? Who's who? Both the same?
Yeah, I mean, you say extravagant gift like a car?
Yeah, or something, you know, or a diamond or something, you know, something not like a CD.
Oh, is that to the wife or just other people?
To each other or to the kids or, you know, just in general, yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm mostly in
discussion. It's still a discussion.
What do you mean? Like you have
I mean, you don't want to surprise somebody with, you know, something that's going to set you back.
And you talk about a car. Has anybody ever bought or received a car for Christmas?
No.
No? Tony, you never bought a car for Christmas?
Negative.
No, I haven't done the commercial. The only person I can recall ever buying, getting a car for Christmas was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long
time ago. And I tell you what, those Lexus commercials, man, they are doing it. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, those, you know, with the music playing and then, you know, one got a cell phone and there's a picture of a new car. Dude, go outside, it's a brand new car.
With a ribbon on top. Mm-hmm.
That dude had the theme music in the elevator going down.
In the elevator,
like,
yeah.
Is that the elevator music? Knew exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. That make you want to go out and have that moment, which is
right.
Go in debt just to have that moment.
And then, like you said, set you back.
Yeah, Christmas is over, and that payment is going to be, you know, another 60 months or whatever you know.
Yeah, that payment now becomes yours. It's your car.
Yeah. With that Lex, you're probably doing like a 96 payments or something. But has anybody bought a car for your child at Christmas? Or maybe you had a neighbor that bought a car for their child for Christmas. But do you think that would cause a fight, you know, buying a car for Christmas?
I think the only thing is if you came home and didn't discuss that type of payment, that type of purchase with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Whereas if you and your wife already knew the type of car, the type of agreed on the payment, or if you were going to pay it all out, you know, you was going to give up, you know, $1,200 out of your saving account and get the car, or if you go put money down on those types of things, I believe that has to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, y'all might have it where your money is your money, my money is my money, and I do what I do. Then I think you got another argument there. So.
Oh, yeah. And if anybody's ever been separated or divorced, if you in that category, have you ever bought an expensive or extravagant gift for your child just to outdo your ex? Or soon to be ex, knowing that she couldn't compete because you had more money than her. You know, like P-Town said, you know, you had your own money, she had her own money. Did you ever, you know, buy a gift, an expensive gift, just to outdo her? No? Okay. Has anybody never...
I'd be cold, though. I'd be real cold.
Yeah, it'd be like...
I could see it happening. Would that just be real cold?
Yeah. I mean,
you might have some cold brothers out there that try to do stuff like that.
Yeah, they do the Lexus commercial for the kid, you know, with the X standing there. be like, yeah, how you gonna top that? You know. But has anybody ever not gotten your wife a Christmas gift at all? Or got her something that she really didn't like? Has anybody ever experienced that? Didn't get her a gift at all, or got her something that she really just did not like? Y'all not being honest tonight, man. So every time you hit it on the nose, huh? Exactly what she wants. I don't believe that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, you got you try to get that hint. You know, guys, we don't.
I'm breaking up there, brother. Anybody else?
I mean, yeah, you know, how can you get it wrong, though?
Yeah, that's fair. If you just ask.
Yeah, you just ask. You've been around this woman for 12 months. She's been dropped enough hints. You know what she wants. It's whether you want to get it or not. That's the issue.
Right, right. Well, what about on the flip side? Has your wife ever not gotten you a gift or gotten you something that you really didn't like? How about that? Same thing. She just give you what you asked for, and you're like, "Oh, thanks."
I've gotten what stuff. This is my first Christmas being married, but I've gotten stuff that I liked, and my wife knew I'd like it, but I wasn't necessarily happy she bought it.
What do you mean you weren't happy she bought it? Because of the cost, or
I wasn't necessarily. You know, I mean, I was happy. You know, it was something that I probably needed, and she got it for me. It was a surprise, but I was thinking about how much it cost.
Right.
I mean, that's the only way I can relate.
So would you say, brother, that you're a gracious recipient or no?
I'm not going to characterize myself as a gracious recipient.
Good words. Anybody else? Would you say you're a gracious recipient when your wife got you that sweater? Like my wife got me a V-neck black sweater, and I was like, nah. And I had to take it back.
Yeah, I get that. Take it back. I mean, sometimes you got to take it back, man.
Yeah. What's the worst Christmas gift you've ever received, T-Hawk? The worst ever. Can you remember?
I really can't.
So many, huh?
I mean, you know. I really can't remember. There's not one that stands out, no.
What about the best? What's the best Christmas gift? And even in your childhood, you know, what's the best Christmas gift you've ever received that you can remember?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank there, too. Because I don't really place a lot of emphasis on what I get for Christmas anymore. I stopped that once I had kids. Because you pretty much have to, you know, make sure that you get what you want. And you take care of it yourself. You know, gifts, you again, a sweater or something like that. You know what I mean? My wife did pretty good. She got me a lot of, you know, football stuff last year. And she did good. Golf stuff, football stuff. But there's no one major gift that's coming to mind right now. Again, like I said, I don't expect much on Christmas because once you have kids, it's all about you taking care of them. And if they don't have money, they're not going to, you know, you can forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, P-Town.
Well, I got one. You know, the best gift I ever had, and one I'll probably never forget, is being bust out to a point where I was ready to leave. I was at Christmas Eve at my wife's parents' house. And I had set it all up. Gonna pop the question that night. And I swear, she gave me the business.
The night you were about to propose?
Huh?
The night you were about to propose?
Yeah, she was mad at me. I'm trying to do my thing, and she mad because she can't go do her thing because she's thinking I'm brushing her off and all like this. And she just upset. So I had this nice little thing set up. Well, you know, everywhere we went, it was a gift popping up. And we went too. I was like, man, I gotta go over to Rodney's house. That was one of my friend's house. And he was gone. But he gave me the key. I was staying, every time I came up there, I would stay at his house. And I had the little candles and everything lit, little flowers going up the steps and all like that. Opened the door, bam. Asked him to marry me. And he was just like, oh, okay, everything cool now. Two seconds was really me going home and taking this ring back to the shop. Because that's how bad you have pissed me off.
Good words, good words. Anybody else?
You know, so that Christmas, it was Christmas Eve, but that was one of the best gifts that I could give and receive was her to say yes.
Good words, good words. Anybody else, the best or worst Christmas gift you've ever received? My best was a go-kart, and of course I got that in my childhood, but it was cold one Christmas, and my parents have a wood stove, so we used to chop wood and stack wood, split wood, you know, bring in wood, you know, all of that stuff. I know about all of that stuff, and so Christmas morning, I mean, in the brick cold, you know, it was a cold, it was snow on the ground, you know. My brother, my older brother, was like, man, Mom said we got to go get in wood. I was like, come on, son. You know, it's cold outside. No, man, get your stuff on. We have got to go get in this wood. So I'm hot. I mean, I'm putting my clothes on, layered up, going out here to get this wood. I'm like, man, why ain't we do this last night? You know, it's Christmas morning. I ain't even opened my gifts yet. You know, you're talking about getting some wood. So we go out to, you know, we had a storage barn and to get the wood out. And there was a go-kart, you know. So, no, we didn't have to get wood. And it was literally to get me outside to see that I got a new go-kart. So, that, I mean, that was my best. And I literally, when they opened the door, I literally just fainted. You know, I was probably about 11 or 12. I can't even remember. I was like, oh, man, I was so excited. You know, I got this go-kart. And that morning, or that maybe that day, it was ice. You know, so we took the go-kart out. We slipped sliding around. So fun times, fun times. So that was my best. Anybody else got a best or worst? Has it come to mind? You know, if not, we'll keep it moving. Staying on gift giving just a moment. Do you plan to buy yourself anything this Christmas? Do you plan to buy yourself anything this Christmas? Yes, no?
Buy yourself or buy...
Yeah. Do you plan to buy anything for you this Christmas? Like that TV that you won, or, you know, DVD pack? Do you plan on buying yourself something that you've been holding out this Christmas that you ain't going to tell nobody to get for you, just going to buy it, you know, treat yourself? But none of y'all are buying anything for yourself.
I think my Christmas gift is right now is kind of already bought it into next year, and that's my business.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the Christmas present that I'm doing.
So you don't plan on buying yourself. It was a business. He's starting a business.
I started my own consulting firm.
What type of consultant?
Full-time consultant. IT, business, finance, auditing, anything you need. Full circle consultant firm.
I was gonna buy myself a laptop, but unfortunately I had to get some new brakes and rotors on the vehicle.
There goes the laptop.
That ain't happening now.
That's good. Hey, that happens, man. That happens. That happens. So the rest of y'all, I guess, are not planning on, or maybe you've already bought it, you know, in November, like I did. You know, I needed some new clothes and shoes, and the wife was just like, why are you waiting till Christmas to get it? You know, so I just went out and bought it, you know. And so, I mean, at this point, I guess you can call it Christmas in November, you know, for me. But, you know, at this point, I don't plan on buying anything else for myself. As T-Hawk said earlier, you know, make sure the kids are taken care of and all of that good stuff. But does anybody on the line like to shop last minute? Or do you have a wife that likes to shop last minute? I'm talking Christmas Eve out there in the madness. Do you or your wife like to shop last minute?
I'm raising my hand. That's me.
On your street, I need my doorbell.
I go out there. I leave work on either the 23rd or 24th. I roll to one store. And that's usually like somewhere like a TJ Maxx or like a K&G or something where I can get everybody a gift at the same place. I just go to the section, bam, 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 bam. I say I'm giving me four boxes and I'm done.
And usually by that time, they're like, we ain't got no more boxes. You know, you're on your own.
That's all right. One thing about the wife, she keeps those little bags.
Oh, the gift bags, yeah.
Birthday bags or gift bags, you call them. I'm straight.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't have time to keep going store to store and looking at every magazine and all that stuff. One-stop shop, man. Bam, 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 done.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to shop last minute or have a wife that does? Y'all look good. Okay, does anybody... y'all at times struggle to determine who to buy for when it comes to gift giving. You kind of like sit there, it's like, should I get her a gift? Should I get him a gift? You know, I mean, do you struggle with, when it comes to the adults, do you struggle to determine who to give gifts to?
Yeah.
I mean, where does it end, you know, when you start, when it comes to adults, I mean? I mean, if you're given a gift to buy somebody, do you feel obligated to give them a present back?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're all like that. I think we're all like that. But to those of you with blended families, has gift giving ever caused conflict between the biological children and the stepchildren in any way? Those of you with blended families? No conflicts between the biological and the stepchildren?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to have that, as long as you know what everybody wants.
Right, right, right. But sometimes, you know, it can... Some parents can be blatantly obvious to, you know, take care of their biological, you know. And
yeah, you can't. I mean, that's like anything. I mean, you know, if they do that at Christmas, trust me, they've been doing it all year long. If they roll like that for Christmas, they've been doing it all year long. They've been slighting their stepchildren or their non-biological children all year long.
And that's not just in gift giving. That's in attention or discipline. You know, all that kind of stuff goes into that.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question for you. What if they deserve to be slighted?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, true.
So be it. Consider yourself slighted. But guess what? They're going to know why, too. They're going to know why. Yeah, your Christmas ain't going to be a good one. That report card is horrible.
Exactly. Exactly. You ain't going to school, you know, you ain't doing nothing. You ain't getting nothing but some T-shirts, you know, some socks.
Yeah, if that. You know what I mean?
If that.
You better hope that, you know, your other family members hook you up, the ones that don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's good. But speaking of divorce and stepchildren, does anybody send their ex-wife and her family a Christmas card? Those that are divorced, do you send your ex-wife or her family a Christmas card? No. What about a gift?
You're trying to get somebody killed, ain't you?
Hey, these things happen. You know, ex-wives and ex-husbands have great relationships where they give gifts at Christmas or give Christmas cards. Y'all ain't never heard of that?
No, man, I ain't never heard. But it could happen. I'm just saying, I just ain't heard of it.
So no Christmas cards, no gifts for the ex-wife and her. So as soon as you get divorced, it's like, cut all that. Is that how it go? All of that's out of the question.
I'd be like, Merry Christmas if I see you.
So not even a text message? Hey, ex, Merry Christmas.
I mean, that's possible, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Still all about the kids, if there are any kids.
Yeah.
A good question would be, I would think, how you would orchestrate buying gifts for the kids during a separation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Making sure that they have what they need, that one parent is not trying to show up the other parent. You know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, that happens too. You know, because then a child can, you know, get caught in the middle of that and it can get ugly.
Yeah.
I say give her a get well soon card.
Get well soon. That's bad. But to those of you that have been separated and divorced, was during that time that was everybody wondering how Christmas dinner was going to work out. Y'all were going through it. It's like, how are we going to work this? Where are we going to go? Am I going to, you know, attend or go to her mama's house? Did y'all have any conflicts with that when it came to Christmas dinner? Y'all going through a separation or divorce? Or it just ironed itself out? Or y'all didn't get separated or divorced, I think, at Christmas time? And when you were celebrating that first Christmas with your first wife, did you ever think or imagine that you would one day be divorced? Did that thought ever cross your mind? You're sitting there at the fire, you got the gifts, the tree, you know, your first Christmas. The brother just said he's celebrating his first Christmas with his boo, his bun. I mean, to those of you that have been divorced, did that thought ever cross your mind? You know, you're celebrating your first Christmas and, like, man. Because, I mean, it's something you don't think about. But it happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how does Christmas compare, you know, compared to your current wife and Christmas with your former wife or wives? Is it better? I mean, despite y'all didn't work out, I mean, did y'all have some good Christmases with the ex, or was Christmas time a literal hell when y'all were married? Do you remember?
I don't really know if it matters, to be honest with you. For me, I don't remember really having a lot of great holidays,
mm-hmm.
You know, period, nonetheless Christmas, but a lot of great holidays, family holidays.
When you were single?
No.
When he was married?
Married.
The first time?
Oh.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure there was some. I mean, we definitely had some. I'm not going to say that. We definitely had some, but, you know, you always want to strive to, you know, to be better. So at this point, I kind of block certain things out.
Gotcha. Have you ever spent Christmas alone? Like with nobody? Anybody? Anybody ever spent Christmas alone?
Well, I haven't, but think of it. You know, I'm still thinking about the thousands that did, you know. That father not there because he's overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that has to be a tough Christmas. That has to probably be on his mind that, you know, he's not there to see the kids open up the gifts. Or,
yeah.
You know, just enjoying that day of friendship and familyhood, I guess you could say, it'll probably be tough on somebody who may, you know, what if you had to work on that day, you had to travel, it's just not home. You'd be ready to quit and find a new job, some folks would.
Mm-hmm.
Just because that is an important day.
And what kind of effect can Christmas time have on relationships that are already strained? I mean, do you think it can improve the relationship or it further damages the relationship when Christmas time rolls around on relationships that are already strained?
Well, you got to think of what is the meaning of Christmas, and if you're ready to discuss the real meaning of Christmas, are you still ready to discuss that meaning of why we mad at each other? Is it really worth being mad at?
So why do you think Christmas and this time of year is so hard on marriages?
Because
I didn't know it was. It is?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, this January 2nd, it said marriage counselors are loaded up, divorce attorneys are loaded up because they're swamped with new business.
But why? I mean, you think it's because of, you know, people didn't get what they wanted?
No, because Christmas is a time of year when a lot of decisions have to be made. And, you know, they put an enormous pressure on an already fragile relationship. And it's essentially it's the straw that breaks the camel's back, you know, in a lot of cases. You know, that's why first of the year, and people turn over new leaves and say, you know what? I'm getting rid of you, Joker. You know, and they go to the divorce court, the divorce attorney. You know, New Year, it's like, I ain't going to be with you anymore. And why I ask that is can the season of Christmas serve as sort of like a litmus test of the health of your marriage? And what I mean by that is, do good marriages flourish during the holidays? While, again, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back of a bad marriage. Can it be like a litmus test going through Christmas time? Determine the health of your marriage, the status of your marriage.
I think it can determine the shallowness of your marriage.
Okay, how so?
If there is such a, I mean, it can determine the materialistic side of your marriage too.
Mm.
You know, I think somebody was on here last time talking about somebody was upset because they didn't get something that they wanted, you know, and some people equate that to their spouse not caring. You know, and she's been saying, yeah, I want this Tiffany tennis bracelet all year, and then you don't buy it at Christmas time, if you're like, you just don't care about me. And that may not be the case. Just maybe you just didn't see the importance of buying that. At, you know, or maybe as the head of household, it just wasn't time to spend that kind of money on that gift. So some people can display how shallow they can be because of certain things not happening the way they want it to happen. That makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
And that may lead you to the divorce court at the beginning of the year if you've gone through all this and then the last straw was Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great force or selfishness can bring people to the counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, along those all year long, and all of a sudden you're still not satisfied. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, along those same lines, I think, you know, the holidays, Christmas time certainly can be a litmus test because, I mean, in general, I think that's when you're going to, you know, be spending a lot of time around each other's family members, and specifically if you already have a tough time, you know, amongst, you know, between just you and her, then you, when you add the family component to it, you know, I just think that can, you know, exacerbate things even further. And, you know, just bring out, you know, more things that you guys, you know, disagree with. So I definitely think it can be a test.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's good words. Anybody else? The litmus test, December 25th.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and like you said, that whole family piece, how you react around your family and their family. You know, some things may come out. You know, like you may say, well, you know, I want to stay home and have a Christmas with our family. And your spouse will say, no, I've been with my family for all these years and we have a tradition. And, you know, I say that we go to their house. You know,
right.
You may just not be feeling that. So that's, you know, that's more friction. You know, and then it could be to the result of the man putting his foot down and then the woman still goes. So the
right.
man ends up spending Christmas alone. You know, I mean, you know, not to be extreme, but I'm pretty sure that's happened too.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, man, be like, all right, well, then roll.
She take the kids and she rolls.
And then she takes the kids.
Hmm.
And we so crazy, we be like, yes! We got a free Christmas! That's the one holiday you don't want to be by yourself, man.
Hmm.
I say Christmas and New Year's are the two holidays you do not want to be by yourself.
And they're right there together. They're a week apart.
Neck and neck.
Hmm. And if somebody had a camera, say you were, you and your family were part of a reality show. You know, it was your show and they had cameras on you, you know, especially in the month of December. Were people watching you and your family actually see that y'all look forward to the holidays or that y'all begrudge the holidays? As they approach, would they get the perception that you're excited and looking forward to the holidays, or are you kind of like, here we go again?
I'm looking forward to the holidays. My wife, on the other hand, is not.
Why?
She just told me she just said she's not in spirit. I guess it'll come later. But she did decorate the tree. Give her that. She did go with me to buy it. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was up to her. We'd still decorate the plant, keep it moving. Wake up Christmas morning and probably go, who knows, to the spa or something.
Now, does this time of year remind anybody of a loss in your life? Christmas time reminds you of a loss in your life? Somebody that passed and not there to share Christmas with anymore. Does this time of year remind anybody of that? Or did anybody lose a family member this year, 2011?
I lost my grandmother on Christmas Eve, but I can't say it necessarily makes me sad during the holidays.
Christmas Eve of last year?
Nah, I was like in sixth grade, man.
Oh, okay. It was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Anybody, does Christmas time remind them of a loss? Or?
I don't know if it's a loss, but, you know, unfortunately, each past 3 years, we have lost one member of the family when it comes to the Christmas dinner, you know, we have memorial time for those. We have a moment of silence for those who have passed away during the year. So, it's unfortunately, you do have those that you see them all the time at the Christmas dinner, and then that family member you know is no longer going to be here. So you don't want to forget those. that used to become important.
Anybody else? Anybody happen to lose a close family member this year, 2011? If not, I think that what P-Town said was absolutely imperative. And just a final few questions here, and then I do have something for open mic, but have you sat back recently and truly just counted your blessings? You know, Christmas time is upon us. A lot going on. Amidst the little tears. Go ahead, brother. You say every day?
Every day, man. I mean, not just Christmas time, but you really thank God because it's his birthday. You know, it's Jesus' birthday. So you really want to thank him for all that he's able to give you and what you have just bought for your kids. You know, that is a plus. That not only lets you have what you have, you know, because it all can be taken away in a minute. He can take it away just as he's given it to you. But just to have that thought of he allowed you to steal, regardless of what you're going through, able to buy your kids and keep a smile on their face as long as you tell them what this day is about and it's about him, then you have to be grateful. All the other negativity or whatever you and the wife is going through, blah, 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 that should be in the past. I mean, you should be able to go forward from that day forward into a new year you should be thankful for what he's given you, not because you want $1 million and you didn't get it, or, you know, you want to go buy that Jag, but you ain't have enough. Your credit ain't good enough. Just be thankful for what you got.
Yeah, and P-Town, along those lines, what are you most thankful for this year?
To be honest with you, I'm thankful for my wife. Because I would have probably made it throughout this year if it wasn't for her. We've been through, you know, a whole lot. She's been right there, and I want to do things. She wanted to do things. She had some rough times when she lost her job for a long time going through the year. And so, you know, I took a whole lot of that from her. And she felt bad going through her stress. I still had to keep her happy. And to get down here to the end, and, you know, bam, you know, new gift comes in today, bam, new health insurance cost. She's like, here, put this in your wallet. This is all you have health insurance for going through the next year. You don't think about those things, but it's like, okay, we're set, we're straight. And guess what? It's your health insurance. It's her health insurance. You remember, I said, you know, 6 months ago, she didn't even have a job. Now you got job with benefits.
Yeah.
And already gotten a raise in 6 months because of where you work so hard. So I have to be thankful for her because, and she holds this place down. I couldn't do it. I tried, you know, we switched places for a while, and I was playing Mr. Mom, trying to do this homework with the kids and stuff. There's no way I can do this best job like she can do it. We got two different styles, and I get frustrated more quickly than she does when it comes to them and their homework. So, you know, going through this next year, it's all about my wife, man.
That's good words. Anybody else? Thought about what are you most thankful for this year?
I will say this. I was actually meeting my wife tonight after work, and I went to kill some time in Best Buy. And it's funny that you asked that question because I was walking around. And I was like, I don't need anything in the store. You know, I walk by the TVs, I got TVs. Video games, yeah, I don't need none of that. And just turn around and say, let me get out of here, because there's nothing that I have a need for. You know what I'm saying? It's like what I have, I'm happy with what I have, finally. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, you know, I don't have everything, but what I have, I'm satisfied with.
Yeah.
I'm no longer looking for the biggest and better of whatever it is.
So you weren't tempted to buy anything?
Nothing.
The latest and greatest TV?
Nothing.
Wow.
When you walk past that 71-inch, it didn't even bother you.
It didn't even faze him.
Didn't even faze me. I kept it moving.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I got a projector at home, so 71 ain't doing nothing for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, you know, keep it moving. Yeah, I mean, but just saying that, to me, that's a blessing to have plenty. And I'm not trying to, you know, brag. I'm just saying to have what I need. And it takes a long time to get, it took me a long time to get to that place. I always wanted more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I always wanted more. If I saw somebody with, you know, this, I'd be like, yo, that's nice. I'm going to get me one. Now I don't need that. Whatever it is, you know.
You know, hustle to get it.
Just to be satisfied with what you have, to me, is a blessing. To know that God has given me what I have and he's made me satisfied with it.
You know,
to me,
God,
it's a blessing all by itself.
Hmm? God just gave you that little baby boy, too.
Well, yeah. And you can't put a price tag on any of that.
No sir. No,
now,
sir.
We just got to figure out how we can get him an eagle. Not an eagle thing.
No, that.
And bypass God and have him become an Eagles fan. That's how
you know what? You know what? His father's a Dallas fan. So, I'm with you. Believe me. I'm with you.
But I'll tell y'all briefly, then I got the final question. It's actually not a question. It's a letter. But what I'm most thankful for this year is my life. And I say that because on June the 16th, 2011, after me and my baby, Sade, me and the wife, coming home in the rain on the Beltway, flipped my truck over several times and walked away unscathed, both my wife and I. So as I sit back and reflect on this year, there's a possibility that I couldn't be here or the wife couldn't be here. And my kids wouldn't have had their mom or dad. But it wasn't our time to go. And fellas, when I talk about walking away unscathed, I mean literally unscathed, walked away, went to work the next day, both of us, after rolling an SUV several times over and coming to rest on the passenger side. So I'm thankful for life, you know, which we often take for granted. And I do have something a little more on that, speaking of life, in the open mic, but I want to get into the, it's almost that time, but tonight's final question is actually...
Wait a minute, hold it, Ryan.
go ahead, brother.
I
go ahead,
one
I'm sorry.
I just came back to the call.
Okay.
And you were saying things to be thankful for.
Yes, sir.
Now, I hope this makes, you know, this goes on what you're saying. I just went to a funeral yesterday. My buddy's mom passed. And whenever I go to a funeral, you know, you just start reflecting on life itself. And the thing that I was sitting there thinking about the whole time was that I'm just thankful for my family, like my kids, my wife, and all those type of things. Because, you know, you just kind of take those things for granted, the fact that we might battle or whatever, or that my kids might get on my nerves at that time. There's people out there that don't have those things. You know what I mean? So I was just sitting there thinking to myself that I'm still thankful that I have my family. But, you know, and I was, like, all tore up yesterday, like, just super emotional just thinking about you know, just life and death and making sure my kids and my family be all right if, like, something happened to me or something happened to them. But, yeah, that's what I was thinking about the whole time. I am thankful for my entire family. So.
Yeah, that's great words because a lot of times we don't remember. There are those who wish they had somebody to battle with and get in a little tiff or a fight here and there, or argue with, and they don't have anybody. And you know, just along that note, and thank you for that, brother. Tonight's final question again is actually an open letter that was sent to me by a female friend of mine. She knows that I do this show every week, and so she wanted to get you guys' advice. The letter reads as follows. Dear brothers of Household Stress, I've been married for 9 years, and my husband and I have 2 kids together. As a child, I was raised in a home where we not only exchanged gifts on Christmas, but we also made it a special time to remember the birth of Jesus. I made the mistake of marrying a man who was never very religious, and he hasn't attended church in years. He actually has managed to make Christmas an ugly and disgusting experience for me. He and his family have a very different view of Christmas than I do. They see the holiday not as a time to remember Jesus' birth, but rather as a time to give each other silly gifts, to get drunk, and to share dirty jokes about almost everything, including Christmas. My husband knows how much it offends me, but each year we go through the same pathetic ritual. I've literally had it with him and his whole family. I would like to enjoy Christmas with my children so that they can have the same good memories of Christmas that my parents gave me, but my husband always ruins it. I'm very close to divorcing him, and this Christmas will probably push me over the edge. What suggestions do you brothers have that might save my marriage? Signed, need your advice. What do you tell her, fellas? What advice would you give her?
That's difficult. That's a difficult one.
Nope. It's not really difficult. The first thing you have to tell her is just continue to pray and not. And to forgive him for that, he knows what he doesn't know, and just keep praying to God that he gives him the light that he needs to understand what Christmas is about, and just keep. He doesn't have to be there if he's out in the other room getting drunk. She needs to continue to tell her kids about Jesus.
Anybody else?
To pray for him, and he'll get it. He'll realize it, and it may not have to come from her. It may come from the kids or tragedy that will get him to realize what Christmas is all about. He'll get there.
So divorce is not the answer for her?
See, I think it's, to me, it sounds like it's more than just that. I indirectly deal with a similar situation, and I personally feel like, but after listening to the call here, y'all always say, like, you know, divorce is not the answer. So that really makes me, like, just really rethink things. But they don't sound like they belong together to me. You know what I mean? Like I said, it's not my household, but I deal with another household that's almost identical to that. That there are two different types of people on how they relate with their families and everything. And I think that's key. That if two people get together and that one person is just not about family at all, and then tries to pull you away from your family or do things that's just out of character, then that's not where you need to be. And to say, okay, well, you know, to use religion, or like the other person might use religion or something like that to I guess I'm getting to some, like, personal things, but, like, to say why we need to stay together because of this, but it's like you're using it, you're, like, the religion against me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's saying, like, well, God said you're supposed to forgive this person. You're not forgiving me. You know what I mean? Like, well, wait a minute, you're doing wrong, but then you're going to use God to say that I'm supposed to forgive you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get that, you know, when people do that. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's just, they just sound like two different people. And they probably, I mean, unless they got kids or something like that together, they probably need to somehow part ways.
Yeah, they got two kids, been married 9 years.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard to do, but, you know.
Tough spot.
Tough spot.
I will say that, you know, I mean, listening to it, there was an emphasis based on religion and Christmas itself.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it's like all the rest of the year, but we, you know, we can pretty much assume that it's not great.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's a, they have a disagreement on respect, because I would tell her to just explain how disrespected she feels when that activity is going on. You know what I mean? And just tell them, you know, I don't appreciate the way you carry my feelings, especially when it comes to my religion and Christmas. And I don't really know if she's had that conversation with him. She may have, but, you know, certain times you have to say, I'm not going to take the disrespect.
So what if they had that conversation?
Again, I don't know. Hopefully they, I don't know, but, you know, at some point she's going to have to put her foot down. Because now it's role reversal. If we say, okay, we need to, I mean, I don't know how successful she's going to be leading his whole family to God. Because that's the other alternative. Introduce him to the Lord. I don't know how that's going to work for her. You know what I mean? So now she's got to go with the, well, if you, don't knock what I'm doing. Don't disrespect what I'm doing. If you want, you all want to do your thing, and be whatever it is you want to be, well, don't knock me for loving the Lord and celebrating Christmas the way I want to celebrate it. And I think that discussion has to, you know, it can't be, no, if you can't beat them, join them. No, just don't disrespect my faith, I think.
Well, I would say that this has been going on for longer than, as someone else pointed out, it's bigger than Christmas. Because essentially, you know, they've almost been leading this dual life, even though they are trying to exist together for quite some time. I mean, if she's going to church, or if she's heavily religious, or even if it's not heavy, not even a word, if she is religious or really wants to be able to celebrate her faith, and he has not done so in some time, then they're already, they're in two paths.
Yeah.
They're just in two different paths. Christmas has nothing to do with it. Yeah, Christmas might intensify it, but the fact is that it just seems like they're on two different paths. And my question would be, she didn't have any idea of this going into that? You know, that this person didn't have, I guess, the will or the passion for the church or the Lord to the degree that she did? The only reason I ask that is because I've been in a situation like that previously, dating somebody where, you know, things were one way, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, it went a completely different level. And I was like, whoa, well, you know, I'm not at that level. So that's the only thing that I would say is, like, right now they are on two completely different paths. I think the best thing that was stated is, you know, you got to pray on it. I don't know if they have or have not, start seeking some type of counseling, see what can be done. You know, because the thing about it is that it's going to get intensified over the holiday. That's a given. If this has happened every year, then it's going to happen this year, too. That's a given. But it's a difficult situation where you would like to be with your immediate family, at least, more so than anything else. And unfortunately, the situation that puts them immediately together is not a positive one.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. And also, what could be the issue, too, is the example. And again, not to pick on her, but sometimes people have an example that they set about church and about their faith. And maybe the example is not that strong. Because, you know, I mean, think about it. You know people, we all know people that are, that their faith is pretty strong. And they don't veer away from it too much. And they get that respect that, you know. But then you have some people that talk the talk, but don't actually walk the walk. And if you're not walking the walk, it's going to be hard to have your spouse take you seriously. And again, I'm just throwing something out there because, you know, there's a reason why he's not taking her seriously. And I'm not going to call the brother a heathen, but sometimes, you know, the example that you're setting is not one that is one that is to be respected. Because I know some people that, you know, talk the talk, but then you catch them doing other things. And we're all not perfect, but certain things you just don't do, you know. I mean, it could be some of that going on in there, too.
Definitely a tough situation. Anybody else got any advice? Don't think those were great words, fellas. The conclusion, and I do have something to share with y'all for open mic. But the conclusion is the strength of a marriage is often tested when decisions need to be made. In bad marriages, conflicts aren't resolved with mutual consideration. Instead, husbands and wives try to force decisions onto each other without taking each other's feelings into account. That leads to a Christmas filled with resentment and unhappiness. The stresses of Christmas can actually demonstrate how bad your marriage is. But what really makes your marriage bad isn't Christmas. It's the way you go about making decisions. If your wife is emotionally isolated from you, the Christmas season will only underscore her resentment towards you. So how can you avoid a possible disaster that's less than 1 week away? When you're able to create new holiday experiences that takes both your feelings and your wife's feelings into account simultaneously, the burden of Christmas will be off your shoulders. Some couples' biggest fights are unfortunately during the Christmas season. But remember, fighting isn't negotiating. Fighting makes it impossible to negotiate. So to help recreate a Christmas season that your entire family will enjoy, you must learn to negotiate every Christmas decision with your wife. Only successful negotiation can lead to change. All a couple needs to do is to abandon those habits and activities that are not mutually satisfying and substitute those that are. And since there are so many decisions that have to be made, it may actually take several Christmases before you finally get it right. But once you made those decisions, you'll have succeeded in avoiding a painful experience that is repeated year after year. And in its place, you'll have what Christmas is meant to be, a season of joy for the entire family. Negotiations that reach mutually agreeable Christmas decisions require considerable skill. You and your wife may have very conflicting interests when it comes to choosing gifts, decorating the house, deciding who to invite over for Christmas dinner, etc. But after Christmas, you have an entire year to develop those skills, practicing on issues that are not nearly as tough to resolve. By this time next year, you'll both be experts. If you follow these simple steps now instead of after this year's Christmas disaster, this Christmas will be what it should be, a season where we reflect on the love of God and love towards others. Research shows that if a husband and wife learn to discuss each issue with respect for each other's perspectives, Christmas decisions actually draw them closer together and increase their love toward each other. That's because their decisions take the feelings of both of them into account, and they in turn create a Christmas season that's enjoyable for the entire family. In closing, I've given you many tips on how to have a merry marriage this Christmas, but the absolute best way is to simply keep Christ in Christmas. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of our virtual talk show brought to you by the Head of Household, a.k.a. Married Men Don't Talk. We hope that you enjoy the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and next week's topic will be... affection. Wow, that's a strong one. Be here, be square. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, householdstress.com. That website again, householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.